legislative hotline for you this morning, as promised, as we continue our chats during this year's sessions with our state senators. This time around is 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor, who joins us this morning. Live from the Capitol in Olympia, said he's in his office this morning where things are nice and cozy. But Keith, you're getting ready to go out and do battle, I know, on the Senate floor later on today. So start by thanking you for being here and tell us how things are going just in general in Olympia.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and so thanks for having me. The mood here in Olympia is we're, you know, kind of pressing on. The big issue is the overriding, you know, financial concerns, because it does affect a vast majority of the bills that are being dropped. Last week we had policy cutoffs, so any bill that didn't make it through committee last week is done for this session unless it's necessary to implement the budget. And then this week we're having the fiscal cutoffs, so we're supposed to have our budgets put together, at least, you know, to talk about, because we have to have reconciliation between the House and the Senate, and that will be an ongoing process through the rest of the session. So that's kind of what's happening here. Actually, this week was basically meeting on the fiscal committee. So in the Senate, it was Ways and Means and primarily transportation, which I'm a part of that budget crafting right now. And so we had transportation committee meetings, and then also I've had, you know, those budgets to deal with.
Keith, before we start digesting some specific legislation, I wanted to talk to you about the budgeting process and the divide that has been, I guess, commonplace since you've been in the House and then this year in the Senate and for a number of years between Republicans and Democrats as far as the ideology toward money in the state. I know your counterpart who you worked with in the House, Mike Steele, has said many times here on the air with us during the sessions this year so far that the state has a spending problem, not a revenues problem. And I wanted you to kind of elaborate on not only his sentiments, but also just in general, again, the divide that seems to be there between how the House or how the Republicans deal with these issues as opposed to how prevailing theories on the Democrat side are.
Well, I want to just start by saying I really appreciate Representative Steele and his work on the capital budget. You know, he and his counterpart, the chair, Steve Clarenger, they really do work collaboratively. That capital budget, and when they come over with the Senate, it's the first time, of course, for me being in the Senate, but they've always been able to work things through in a bipartisan manner and try and, you know, allocate those funds throughout the state. So, you know, I want to just give credit to them, and particularly Representative Steele, being in the minority, being able to do as well as he's done. From the standpoint of the operating budget, I know I've been getting emails from people saying, why does the state spend the money this way and why do they do that? Well, the reality is that it boils down to priorities. And often that budget doesn't really get shown to the whole of the legislature until the last 2 days of session. So I just was looking at the last year's budget, which is 899 pages. And there's a lot of things embedded in there that you can't actually even, you know, expose or even talk about prior to voting for the budget. And that's why, you know, the Republicans typically do not vote for the budget, because we really don't know the scope of what's in there. The unfortunate thing in both the operating and transportation, which used to be more bipartisan, it hasn't been so much in the last, you know, couple sessions, but the priorities do shape how that spending takes place. And what we've seen in the operating side is that we had rainy day funds set aside. We had some other public works trust fund is one that comes to mind that got swept. The rainy day fund, there was a maneuver where they moved the money over so it could be accessed without a vote of the legislature. They took that and then they backfilled, you know, portion of that. So, I mean, there's just been a lot of maneuvering, but that's to cover the spending commitments that were being made with anticipated revenues. The reality where we are right now is that we had some things, some bills that we passed here a couple years ago that really weren't going to come online until now, in 25 and 26. So now we have, a commitment that we didn't have the money for. It was fine at the time because it didn't have a fiscal impact, so it got passed. And now it's actually coming due, and we don't have, you know, the revenue coming in to cover all the commitments we've made. So I mean, the reality is it does come down to how you shape your budget, whether it's a personal budget or a business budget. I mean, you say these are our priorities and this is how we're going to fund it. And I felt, you know, particularly all my years in the county, that we wouldn't make commitments that we couldn't, you know, sustain the revenue for that because we didn't want to dig ourselves a hole. And I think that's basically what we've done here at the state is we've created a hole now that we're trying to fill. And it's probably because, you know, we've got, you know, programs that, once again, just the priorities differ. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update, our legislative hotline coming on the air for Thursday, the 27th of February. Keith, I know you told me before we jumped on the air here that you'll have revenue forecasts soon. And you said those are looking flat right now?
That's the kind of the preliminary word that we get. And I have no reason to believe that they would be, you know, very rosy because there hasn't been really a change. I mean, things have been pretty steady. So, I mean, that'll be a major concern. I mean, you're always hoping that maybe it'll be better than we anticipated, but that doesn't seem to be the case. But we'll know more. And I think even the governor today is going to have a press conference that will kind of give a little bit of a glimpse into what he's anticipating coming up too with the forecast.
Keith, can you get into, again, in the same manner that you talked about with, again, the difference in ideologies between Republicans and Democrats, can you talk to us about how the thought process goes for maybe both camps as far as raising revenues is concerned? Because it seems to me as I look at bills that have Republican support and those that have Democratic support or who are initiated by Democrats, it seems to be kind of different as far as the thought process of, you know, this would be a great way for us to raise more money to bring into the coffers of the states. Can you elaborate at all on the divide that's happening there?
Well, often the taxes that are being proposed are on those who are the producers. So I'm talking about businesses because we talk about a B&O tax, which is your business and occupation tax, which taxes the gross of a business. I believe we may be the only state in the union anymore. There may be one other, if I remember right, that still does a B&O tax. And so, you know, you're already starting as a business owner. You're having to pay to actually have a business in the state of Washington. And then, of course, the wealth taxes. And, you know, it basically, the things that we're targeting are people that are producers that really do bring a benefit to the state. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that can't go on forever because, you know, the word that I'm getting from my constituents, and I know personally, you know, my taxes continue to go up and they're not things that, you know, I feel like I have that discretion or that latitude to just keep paying taxes. I mean, when you are paying taxes, you want to see a return on that investment. And if we are continuing to discourage people from being entrepreneurial or, you know, putting on more people, you know, we're taxing businesses that get up to a certain number of people. So we're hearing people say, well, I'm not going to hire more than 50 people because that kicks me into a new category. I'm going to have to pay more tax. We're just going to try and stay here. You know, when we talk about the housing thing, we're trying to, you know, curtail the success that people might have in investing in real estate, for example. And what we're doing is discouraging, you know, the kinds of things that actually bring more income. Because if people are making income, I mean, you just, that's a reality of life. If you make it, you pay it. You know, that's where we are. But if we're having people saying, you know, I have to be careful. If I make more, I'm going to lose that much. I mean, they're getting a lot more strategic. And in the case of some of these wealth taxes, I mean, we're seeing people literally taking you know, either relocating themselves so they're not personally affected, or they're relocating their business. And, you know, that does not bode well for us as a state. So, I mean, what we're, from the Republican side, from my perspective, you know, I'm always trying to create opportunity for people to be successful. Because if you're successful, then you're more, you know, you understand that that's just the nature of how the system works. You do pay tax. I mean, that's just a fact of life. But if you're successful it isn't as difficult than if you're barely making ends meet and now you've got another tax on it, whether it's a raising of a sales tax or raising of, you know, property tax. You don't have a whole lot of control over that, and it doesn't come with increased wages, for example. So there's a lot of conversation about the philosophy of taxing, because as much as we talk about how regressive our tax is, the solutions come with more regressive taxes. And I think, you know, we really have to have a more frank conversation about what the real outcomes are that we're hoping to achieve.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on our legislative hotline on the KPQ Morning Update. Keith, let's talk at least about one specific piece of legislation today, kind of as it relates to what we've discussed as far as raising revenues are concerned, a Democratic back piece of legislation about road usage tax. And I know this has prompted a lot of outcry from the public on really both sides, I guess, of the divide. People not encouraged by having to potentially pay a tax just to drive on the roadways here in Washington State. And it does seem, once again, like one of those measures that, if passed, would be lopsided, i.e. between the west side, where they have more urban population, than here on the east side. So tell us about where this bill is at right now in the Senate.
Well, in the Senate, it did have a hearing. And I don't believe, I got to remember now, I don't think we've actually had an executive session, which means we voted out of committee. I think it just had the hearing at this point. So, but that doesn't really mean much because it was heard in the House, and it may be the House version that will come over, and that'll be the vehicle that that they'll be using to, you know, get this bill through. So it's kind of a wait and see thing, but it's not imminently on our radar right now. I mean, it's on the radar, but it's not on our schedule to be dealt with.
Keith, do you feel like if this were to pass through the governor's desk, that it would be one of those pieces of legislation that would eventually go before a vote of the people or be stricken down in court potentially?
Well, I don't know about the court part, but I'm sure that there would be pushback. I think there's so many, and even the proponents of the bill have said, you know, there's still things that need to be worked out, because you have to set up a whole new mechanism for collecting the money. I mean, you'd be paying it each time you register, you'd pay for that year's worth of taxes. So when you go in to register your car, now you've got you'd have a large lump sum payment that you'd have to make. I mean, currently you're paying it each time you pull up to the gas pump, and, you know, you're paying a gas tax that goes directly to the roads. I think, you know, there's a number of things that could be talked through. For me personally, you know, it doesn't seem right, you know, but we have to come up with something for revenue, or we have to, you know, reevaluate, you know, how we're spending our money right now. But going through the budget, we are falling so far behind on maintenance and preservation. And I felt that way when I was still at the county, that, you know, it was very difficult to keep up with the maintenance of the roads. And to me, that's one of the core functions of government, is to provide for a stable infrastructure. And that is something we're falling way behind with, bridges and, you know, in our case, ferries too, you know. So there's so much that needs to be addressed. But we will have to find, you know, revenue sources to try and catch up. But once again, it comes back to what your priorities are when you put that budget together.
Well, we didn't have much of a winter over here in eastern Washington, Keith, but it's definitely pothole season coming out of the colder months. I can already see a few opening up on the roads around the region. So it keeps us in mind of the infrastructural needs that we have here for sure on an annual basis, at least. Keith, I appreciate the time very much. Anything else that you'd like to say before we finish up this morning?
No, I think, you know, I always encourage people to stay tuned on what's going on. I think too often things happen and we wonder how it happened, but if you can kind of try and keep track of what's going on, you can see how things progress and how certain bills, you know, as I mentioned, they may get passed today. We may not see the effect of it for a year or two, but you do see philosophies evolving. And I think people need to understand, you know, connect the philosophy with the results. So thanks again for your time, for having me on, though, for this time.
Appreciate Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to host you, Keith. Again, 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us this morning here on the KPQ Legislative Hotline as part of our KPQ Morning Update for this Thursday edition.